Psalm 76, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of Asaph, a song. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains, full of prey. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoil. They sank into sleep. All the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is aroused? From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. Make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. Who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening hour that we can come together. And we thank you that we can worship you, O Lord, in song, in thanksgiving and praise, from our hearts in spirit and truth. Thank you for the songs that the children sang, and we thank you that you are the Lord who lifts our hearts in worship. Father, we seek your face as we meditate on your word, and we pray that you will write your word upon our minds and our hearts. And we pray that you cause your word to become flesh in us. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now the background of this psalm, Psalm 76, is most likely the judgment of God upon the Assyrian army, the same as in Psalm 75. The record of this deliverance is found in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, and also in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. Now there are other Zion psalms, which include Psalm 46, Psalm 48, 87, 126, 132, and 137. But the emphasis in this psalm is on the God who accomplished the victory and not on the miracle itself. The emphasis is on the God who accomplished the victory. God's mighty works reveal the greatness of his character and his power. Remember Psalm 75 verse 1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks to you, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. Now the officers of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, he boasted of their king and his conquests. In Isaiah 36 verse 13 we read, then the Rabshake stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Judah, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Isaiah 36 verses 18 to 20. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you by saying the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But their gods, whom their idols represented, were no match for the true and the living God. Psalm 115, verses 1 to 9. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. In the Psalm, Psalm 76, Asaph shares four basic truths about Jehovah God. Number one, God wants us to know Him. Not to know about Him, but to know Him intimately. Verses 1 to 3, Psalm 76 verses 1 to 3. God is honored in Judah. His name is great in Israel. Jerusalem is where He lives. Mount Zion is His home. There He has broken the fiery arrows of the enemy, the shields and swords and weapons of war. When the northern kingdom of Israel was taken by the Assyrians in 722 BC, many godly people moved into Judah, the southern kingdom, from Israel, where a descendant of David was on the throne in Judah, and true priests ministered in God's appointed temple. So many of the godly people from Israel came down into Judah from Israel, the northern kingdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 11 verses 13 to 16. And the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel presented themselves to him from all places where they lived. For the Levites left their common lands and their holdings and came to Judah and Jerusalem, because Jeroboam and his sons cast them out from serving as priests of the Lord. And he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat idols and for the calves that he had made. And those who had set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came after them from all the tribes of Israel to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord, the God of their fathers. But Asaph in this psalm, he named both Israel and Judah. For although the kingdoms had been divided politically, there was still only one covenant people in the sight of the Lord. God's name was great in Judah and Jerusalem. Psalm 48 verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, His holy mountain, Jerusalem. Psalm 77 verse 13. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? But God's name needed to be magnified among the neighboring nations, because that was Israel's calling. When God called Abraham, He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we read, Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isaiah 49 verse 6. He says, It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Genesis 12 verse 3. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isaiah 49 verse 6, the last part. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. So that was God's plan for Israel. God's name needed to be magnified, not only in Israel, but among the nations. That's why God called Abraham, to make his name known among the nations. That was God's call over Abraham and Israel. Isaiah 33 verse 13. Hear you who are far off. Who are the ones who are far off? The Gentile world. People who are non-Israelites. Hear you who are far off what I have done, and you who are near, acknowledge my might. Jehovah had chosen Judah to be the ruling tribe. Genesis chapter 49 verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. So the Messiah would come through the tribe of Judah. Jerusalem was the site of his holy sanctuary. Jerusalem was the site of God's holy sanctuary. The Lord had chosen Jerusalem to be his throne. The Lord rebukes Satan when Satan accused Joshua the high priest. Remember, the Lord says in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? So, God has chosen Jerusalem. The Lord has chosen Jerusalem to be his throne. So when the Assyrian camp, when the Assyrian army came against Jerusalem, when the army camped near Jerusalem and threatened to attack Jerusalem, what happened? The angel of the Lord visited the camp and killed 185,000 soldiers. 185,000 soldiers were killed, 1,85,000 soldiers. All their abandoned implements of war were but silent monuments to the power of the God of Israel. Psalm 76 in verse 3 we read, there he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword and the weapons of war. Isaiah 37 verse 36, and the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. So God gives Israel victory. God gives victory to Judah. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. John 4 verse 22. So if we are to know the true and the living God, we must read the Bible. That's a Jewish book. And we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came through the Jewish nation and died for the sins of the whole world. And that was why God called Abraham to himself, to make himself known not only to Israel, but to the whole world. The true and the living God is the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we need to get to know him intimately, personally. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Again in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, God in his mercy has revealed himself to mankind through Israel, through the tribe of Judah. The Messiah has come into this world. God's desire is not only Israel, but the whole world would come to know him. That's God's desire. And that's what the psalm speaks about in verses 1 to 3. We need to get to know God. Get to know him personally. Number two, God wants us to trust him. You see, knowing him in our minds is not enough. But we need to trust him. And when we know him intimately, personally, we trust him. Verses 4 to 6. Psalm 76 verses 4 to 6. You are glorious and more majestic than the everlasting mountains. Our boldest enemies have been plundered. They lie before us in the sleep of death. No warrior could lift a hand against us. At the blast of your breath, O God of Jacob, their horses and chariots lay still. Now when you read in 2 Kings and Isaiah, the account of Assyria's invasion of Judah, you see how difficult King Hezekiah's situation was and how much faith he needed to just trust God for victory. But the God of glory, who is more splendid than the brightest light and more majestic than the mountains, he wipes out the Assyrian soldiers as they slept. Instead of the Assyrians plundering Jerusalem, Jerusalem plundered Assyria. And the Assyrian lion was defeated by the Lion of Judah. Isaiah 14 verses 24 to 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land and on my mountains, trample him underfoot. And his yoke shall depart from them and his burden from their shoulder. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Speaking regarding the destruction of Nineveh, which was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, God says through the prophet Nahum, in Nahum chapter 2 verses 11 to 13, where is the lion's den, the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion and lioness went, where his cubs were with none to disturb? The lion tore enough for his cubs and strangled prey for his lionesses. He filled his caves with prey and his dens with torn flesh. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messenger shall no longer be heard. Psalm 76 verse 6. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. You see, the God of Jacob not only put an end to those soldiers, to those Assyrian soldiers and their chariot horses, but he also destroyed their weapons. He destroyed their weapons. Psalm 76 verse 3. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword and the weapons of war. He also put the fear of the Lord into their leaders. Psalm 76 verse 12. Who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. Now why did this happen? Because King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah and the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, they all listened to God's word. They listened to God's voice and they put their faith in the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Isaiah 37 verse 35. That was God's word. And God is true to his word. What he says, he will accomplish. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So put your whole trust in him. Know him, not just intellectually, not just knowing about him, but knowing him personally, knowing him intimately. And when that happens, you put your trust in him. Number 3, God wants us to fear him. Verses 7 to 9 in Psalm 76. The fear of the Lord is a major theme in this psalm. In verse 7, verse 8, verse 11, verse 12, you find the fear of the Lord. Psalm 76 verse 7, but you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? It means, of course, the reverential awe. That's what fear is. Reverential awe of God. The respect and veneration that belongs to God alone. And God's people love him. They rejoice in him. But they also worship the Lord with reverence and rejoicing and rejoice with trembling. Psalm 2 verse 11. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. A.W. Tozer was the one who said, no one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. He says that in the book, The Root of the Righteous, A.W. Tozer. Try and get as much as you can of Tozer's books. No one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. The Lord had been long-suffering, very patient towards the officers of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. Even as they blasphemed his name and threatened his people, God was long-suffering. But then he reveals his wrath. When God revealed his wrath, he just destroyed. He destroyed the Assyrian army. Psalm 76 verse 7. Psalm 76 verse 7. They came to take siege of Jerusalem, but what happened? They were destroyed. Psalm 76 verse 7. But you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? The question that is asked in verse 7, who can stand before you? That's also asked in Psalm 130 verse 3. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? Psalm 130 verse 3 and also Revelation 6 verse 17. Psalm 130 verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Revelation chapter 6 verse 17. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? The question is answered in Ezra chapter 9 verse 15. Ezra 9 verse 15. O Lord, the God of Israel, you are just, for we are left a remnant that has escaped. As it is today, behold, we are before you in our guilt. For none can stand before you because of this. No one can stand before the wrath of God. You see, we rejoice that God is love. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God and God abides in him. Yes, we realize that God is love. But we must never forget. We must always remember that our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 29. From his throne in heaven, the Lord announces the verdict, and the trial was over. Psalm 76 verse 8. From the heavens you uttered judgment, the earth feared and was still. There could be no appeal, because God's court is the very highest, and his judgment leaves the offender speechless. It's not a human court. In human courts there is so much of injustice. But God's court is the highest court, and his judgment leaves the offender speechless. Romans chapter 3 verse 19. So that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Psalm 76 verse 8. From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still. You see that? The earth feared and was still. Psalm 76 verses 9 to 10. When God arose to establish judgment, to save all the humble of the earth, surely the wrath of man shall praise you. The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. According to verses 9 and 10 in Psalm 76, God's judgments accomplish at least three purposes. Number one, they bring glory to God as they reveal his justice and holiness. Number two, they punish the wicked for their evil deeds. Number three, they bring salvation to those who trust the Lord. They bring salvation to those who trust the Lord. You need deliverance in your life? Trust the Lord. Put your whole weight on him. Psalm 72 verse 4. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. So, trust him. Number 4. God wants us to obey him. Verses 10 to 12. Psalm 76 verses 10 to 12. Human defiance only enhances your glory, for you use it as a weapon. Make vows to the Lord your God and keep them. Let everyone bring tribute to the awesome one, for he breaks the pride of princes, and the kings of the earth fear him. Compared to the wrath of God, the wrath of man is nothing. The more men rage against him, the more God is glorified. You see, the longer Pharaoh refused to submit to God, the more Egypt was destroyed and the more God was glorified. God spoke to defiant Pharaoh through Moses. Exodus 9 verse 16. But I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. Romans chapter 9 verses 14 to 18. Are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work for it. For the scriptures say that God told Pharaoh, I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the earth. So you see, God chooses to show mercy to some, and he chooses to harden the hearts of others, so they refuse to listen. Psalm 76 verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. That's the King James Version. The ESV reads Psalm 76 verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, the remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. Now scholars have wrestled with the translation of the second line of verse 10. And some translations append a note there stating that the meaning is uncertain or the Hebrew is obscure. The idea expressed seems to be that the Lord isn't agitated about man's wrath, but he wears man's wrath like a sword or a garment, and he will use it against his enemies at the right time. Instead of resisting the Lord, that's a losing battle, we should be grateful to him for rescuing us. Verse 9 says he's rescued us, and we should be grateful for, to him. We should be grateful to him for saving us from our sins. Psalm 76 verses 8 and 9. From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth. You see, Jesus crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. In John 16 verse 11 we read concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. John 12 verses 31 to 33. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. The Evangelion proclaimed in the book of Genesis has been fulfilled on the cross. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins and to set us free from the grip of the enemy. Acts chapter 26 verse 18. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You see, not only does he give us forgiveness of sin, he also gives us power to overcome sin, victory over sin. All that man needs to do is to turn from sin and Satan and call upon the name of Jesus and be saved and experience his presence and his power. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Romans 10 verse 9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Psalm 76 verse 11. Make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. Asaph spoke to the Jewish believers and told them to keep the promises they made to the Lord when Jerusalem was in danger. He tells them to keep the promises that they made to the Lord when Jerusalem was in danger. How easy it is to make vows and not keep them. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 1 to 6. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? So make sure you keep your promises that you have made to the Lord. The Lord's great victory should also have witnessed to the neighboring nations and motivated them to go to Jerusalem with gifts to worship him. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 23. This happens. The great victory that Judah had was witnessed by the neighboring nations, and that would have motivated them to go to Jerusalem with gifts to worship him. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 23. And many brought gifts to the Lord to Jerusalem, and precious things to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations from that time onward. Now the psalm begins in Jerusalem and its vicinities, verses 1 to 6, and then the psalm moves to the entire land of Israel, verses 7 to 9, and now it reaches the whole earth in verse 12, Psalm 76 verse 12, who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. There will be a day when the rulers of the earth will bow to Jesus Christ and worship him as King of kings and Lord of lords. Isaiah chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And this will happen in the millennial kingdom when Jesus establishes his reign on earth. We read and hear so much about the love of God today that sometimes we forget the fear of God. Psalm 76 verse 7, but you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? What is this fear that Asaph is talking about here? It is the fear of the Lord. It is that reverent respect and awe that we show to him because of his greatness, because of his power. We are God's children. And the Holy Spirit in our heart says, Abba, Father. We can pray, Our Father who art in heaven. We can draw close to God, and he will draw close to us. But remember that God is God, and we are human beings. He is in heaven, and we are on earth. He is eternal, and someday we will be with him in heaven. Meanwhile, our earthly existence is temporal. The fear of God is not like the dread of a prisoner before a judge, no. It is not the cringing of a servant before a master, no. The fear of God is the reverent respect and awe of a child realizing the greatness and the glory of God. We fear him because he's so great. Psalm 76 verse 1, in Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. Oh, what a great name. Oh, what a great name he has. How sad that the people of the world take his great name in vain. We also fear him because he is glorious. Psalm 76 verse 4, you are glorious and more majestic than the everlasting mountains. The Hebrew reads, than mountains filled with beasts of prey. We also fear God for who he is. We fear God for who he is and what he has done. Psalm 76 verse 6, at the blast of your breath, O God of Jacob, their horses and chariots lay still. He fights our battles. Therefore, we fear him for who he is and for what he has done. That's worship. Worshipping God for who he is and what he has done. Now, what is the result of fearing him? This is very important. What is the result of fearing God? You see, God fights our battles. He goes before those who fear him. We can stand before God because Jesus intercedes for us. He fights on our behalf. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins. So God is not angry with us. We have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. He has forgiven us by his blood, by the blood of Jesus. And when we stand in awe of him and reverently worship him, yes, truly fear him, reverential fear expressed in worship, then he will fight our battles for us. He will fight for us. So the secret of victory is reverential fear of God expressed in genuine worship. God deserves your respect. God deserves your reverent respect. And you have many reasons for giving God that respect. You have many reasons for giving God that respect. Let's ask ourselves this question. Do I truly give God his due respect? Do I really fear him? Let's take time to think and focus on who he is. Focus on who God is and what he has done for us. Begin to experience his presence in worship and experience his victories. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. This is intimate, experiential knowledge of God. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Let's bow our heads in prayer.